Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio. Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast, a production of iHeartRadio.
Gonna tell it like it really is. We know Haney doesn't give a shit. Silencing critics, eliminate misses. Two chips never accept on shoulders to get better. Everybody knows a name, read about it. We're golf teachers, Hall of Fame. Never doubt it. It's time for the truth. Here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. You're listening to Haney. It's time for the truth, here's our dude. You're listening to Haney. Yeah. Listening to Haney.
Welcome to the Hank Haney Podcast. Hank Haney, and I'm still buzzing about the match. The match two. Champions for Charity. Tiger Woods, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Phil Mickelson. They raised $20 million for COVID relief. I mean, that is something. And it's probably more than that because they tied in with the all-in challenge so people could buy raffle tickets. And the raffle ticket got them a chance to win like a outing with Tiger. He's going to give you a putting lesson. You're going to get to hang out with them at the Hero World Challenge down in the Bahamas and do that. And then with Phil Mickelson, you're going to get a chance to play with them in the foursome at the Discovery Land charity event that they have. Phil's holding one of the spots for the winner of the All-In Challenge. And when the bids were going, I mean, they were just, you know, Tiger's bid was like, I think, $250,000. I don't know what it ended up going for. But Phil was like around $150,000. So that was a huge deal. They're going to auction off the golf carts. Who knows what the total was. I'll get that total. But I thought it was just a fantastic match, like I said yesterday. Today, what I want to do is I want to get into some of the golf analysis. And I also want to get into some of the analysis on Twitter. Now, you know, going through Twitter and reading what everybody's saying, because, you know, you think, okay, I think this is really good. And then, you know, other times people look at it and say, hey, you know, it wasn't very good or whatever. But, you know, so I'm checking out Twitter and I go on, and one of the, you know, people that I always follow is my man, Ron Mintz. You've heard him on the podcast before. You can follow him on Twitter at MintzGolf. And Ron said this. He said, last week was nice to see Goff again, but today was awesome. He was referring to the Sunday match. So that was one person's, you know, comment or opinion. All right, then we had Minnesota Tim, you know, my great producer. He posed a question on Twitter, and this was, you know, Sunday. He said, what did you think of the match part two, Champions for Charity? And I want to read to you some of the responses, because for the overwhelming part, people thought it was good. My man at Rod Hill 123, he said, I think we know what's under the armor now. I don't know what that means exactly. I'm going to have to ask him what that means. I have to, it's got me thinking there. Another buddy of mine, Greg Urich. He said, I enjoyed it. He said, since it was on cable TV, it would have been nice to hear a non-censored version. We got a little non-censored version when Tom Brady holed that shot out, you know, from 160 yards and told, he said, Chuck, why don't you suck on that? That was a little uncensored version right there. But that was, you know, it's a good point that Greg brings up, because, I mean, there's some choice language. And when we were going through the prop bets before the Champions for Charity match, it was like, what's the over and under on swear words? And I'm like, the over and under on swear words is zero. They're not going to say anything, because why would they? I mean, what benefit is it? They're doing this for charity. They're doing a good thing. They're all coming out as winners. Why would you want to say or do anything that could, you know, shed you in a negative light? Nobody would do that. So they absolutely didn't. Here's another one from Patrick Kennedy. I loved it. And Tiger remains the worst dressed rich person ever. There was a few people that commented on the length of his shorts. He does like those shorts. He's been wearing those shorts forever. It's like the shirts have gotten smaller and the shorts have stayed the same, you know, size and length. They're definitely a little long. They're kind of a little out of style at this point. But I'll tell you what, his golf was not out of style. I mean, I thought he played fantastic. I'm going to get into that a little bit. I'm going to get into some more golf analysis, but let me read you some other stuff. Bill Young says JT was on fire. I thought he was too. Justin Thomas was great. I mean, I thought he did first time he'd ever done television, and his marching orders. You know, my buddy BZ Brian Zurf, he was the producer of he produced this event. He put it together. He's Phil Mickelson's friend. And he had this big idea to raise money for charity for COVID relief. And he pitched this to Phil. And, you know, Phil pitched it to Tiger. And Phil pitched it to Tom Brady because he's friends with Tom Brady. And, of course, you know, Phil knows that Tiger and Peyton Manning are friends. And anyway, they put this whole thing together. And BZ had told me, he said, he told me who his announcers were going to be. And he said, you know, Charles Barkley's going to be one of them. And I'm like, well, Charles is great. I mean, he's always great. And then he said, Justin Thomas is going to be his on course with Amanda Ballionis. I said, well, Amanda Ballionis is a superstar. I mean, she just is. But Justin Thomas never done. He says, and I told Justin Thomas, this is BZ speaking. He says, I told him, just, you got to just let it rip. He said, don't, you know, be funny, be entertaining, be yourself. I mean, we, you know, don't get all hung up on, you know, he's got this far, 160 yards and he's hitting an 8 iron, you know, it's like people don't care. I've said this forever. Like people don't like when I worked for ESPN way back in the day and you know, it was a bad time to be working for ESPN because they were losing their golf coverage. And the next year ESPN wasn't going to have any PGA Tour events. So everybody that was announcing on ESPN, in their mind, they were auditioning. Yeah, I had other jobs. I mean, I was teaching golf. I mean, this was just and most notably teaching Tiger Woods. But I did this ESPN thing, and I'm doing it with all these announcers that know that next year they're going to be losing their job, and it's just like an audition. Like everybody's auditioning, and they're just talking all the time, talk because they want to impress somebody with something they have to say. Anyway, I was a new kid on the block. He never let me say anything. And by the time I got a chance to say something, I had like, you know, 10 seconds. And, you know, they throw, you know, okay, Hank, what has he got? And I'm like, oh, he's got 165 yards. He's hitting an 8 iron. And I'm thinking to myself, what? Who cares? What difference does it make? I mean, it's just when they spend all their time talking about that on TV, it just drives me crazy. I mean, it just means nothing. I thought Justin Thomas did a good job. He put some good stuff in there. Here's another Twitter comment. Very entertaining. Loved it. That's from D. Farrell. J.P. Feldner. So much better than part one. I agree. See, better than part one because they had four people. When you got four people, you know, if one guy's not talking, and, you know, Tiger didn't say a lot. Tom Brady didn't say a lot. But they Brady got going after he held hold out that shot. Then he loosened up a little bit because I think at first he was like thinking, oh, my God, this is going to be the most embarrassing thing ever. Once he holds out the shot and he knows he's hit the shot of the day, no matter what else happens, he's a winner. I mean, no matter what else happens, I'm part of a day that raised $20 million for charity, and I hit the shot that everybody's going to remember. And, you know, he loosened up. But it's easier when you have four people talking instead of two. When you have two people, and it was Tiger and Phil before, and they're with their caddies, and they're out there, a long walk to the ball. You know, this time they were in fast carts. So they got a long walk to the ball, a lot of dead time, and there's not a lot of talking, especially when it gets close. But Peyton Manning's a talker, and I think, you know, that was a big plus. Here's from Sean Taylor. My man Sean Taylor thought it was great. Nice back and forth between the guys. Peyton coming within a foot of $25 million wasn't bad either. At the match too, I thought it was really good. Steve Brady says a very good show. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Too many technical issues. Oh, and there wasn't that many technical. A couple times the mic didn't work, but it was always Tiger with the mic not working. I wonder if the mic wasn't working, if he just wasn't responding. He's not that much into that whole thing. I just kind of got the feeling that, maybe it was the latter. Who knows? Maybe not. But Phil's mic was working good. It was only when they were in their cart that it wasn't working. And it was only Tiger. Brady's was working. Peyton Manning's was always working in his cart. Phil's was always working in his cart. I don't know. It just was, but there was a couple things. But, I think you got to cut the guys a little slack. I'm as critical as anybody. But, it's pouring rain. So, it had to be tough. Tough to produce that thing, tough to count on your equipment to work. I don't know. That was pretty tough. The earpieces they're wearing and it's raining and, that's probably a little uncomfortable to play with, but the guys kept it in. Brady had his hanging out half the time. Remember when he hit that shot and he holed out, his whole battery pack flew off his back and it was hanging by the cord. It was a little awkward moment, but he the shot went in, spun right in there. Here's another one from Craig Madison. I thought it was great fun, even with the crappy weather. And, I think the crappy weather came out pretty good. I was talking to my man BZ, who put this whole thing together, and he said, you know what? The bad weather made it even better because, you didn't see guys out there, on a sunny day, wearing their sunglasses where you can't see their eyes. It was overcast. It was raining. You could see everybody's, faces and eyes, which is a big plus. The fact of the matter that you got, four, very, 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 very wealthy guys and hugely successful. You got two GOATs, Tiger and Tom Brady, and you got, two, big Hall of Famers, Peyton Manning and Phil Mickelson. And Phil's, arguably a top 10 golfer of all time. Peyton Manning, arguably a top 5 quarterback of all time. And they're all out there playing in that crappy weather for nothing but pride. And they were into it, but nothing but pride and, raising money for charity. And it almost worked out better that it was in the rain. I think it was really good. Nick said, great match. Poe Grant said, freaking incredible. Patrick Saint loved it. Everybody, here's one from Be Handsome Face. How about that? How about that for a name on Twitter? Loved it. Great to see incredible athletes struggle like the rest of us. Also, great announcers and, pace of play. It was good. Great. True Blue says, great TV. So enjoyable, Michael Blaznick, he says, good stuff. Michael Fallon, excellent. Riveting. Lunchbox Joe says, John Cawley loved it. It was so good. Alex Tiesen said, I found it very entertaining, much more than the first match, a lot more banter and listening to Phil coach Brady and talk through his shots was fascinating. And I thought it was too. So that's going to be the next thing I get into. I want to get into some of the golf analysis and some of the lessons that you can learn, we can all learn, the instruction part of the match, the champions for charity. We'll take a little break, hear from our sponsors, including Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. If you've got aches and pains, arthritis pain, joint pain, whatever it is, try Voodoo Pain Relief Cream. 50 million Americans suffer from chronic pain. And if you're like me, you've tried every single product that's out there on the market. And I'm telling you, I've tried them all. Voodoo Pain Relief Cream works. I just had a problem with my left knee. I've had both my knees replaced just 6 months ago. And I'm playing pickleball and golf and played pickleball for 6 hours the other day. Anyway, my left knee swelled up so bad I could barely bend it. Put the Voodoo Pain Relief Cream on, and I'm not kidding you. My flexion went from 90 degrees, where I could just barely bend my knee, get it to 90 degrees, to about 125 degrees, and it happened in like 30 minutes after I put the cream on. It works to reduce inflammation. If you haven't tried it, you can get a free two-week supply at voodoopainrelief.com. So go and check it out, voodoopainrelief.com. All right, we'll be right back on the Hank Any Podcast. So I'm gonna touch first on my analysis of the golf that was played at the match. I want to analyze every player for you. One thing that I found very, very interesting, which is a lesson for everybody, and it's that Phil Mickelson was very nervous at the start, and he even said it. He said I was. He mentioned it quite a few times. He said I'm a little tight, which I think was incredibly refreshing that somebody as great as Phil Mickelson would play in a match. You know, obviously he's playing with Tiger. It's a big thing. Anytime you play with a GOAT, it's a big thing. He's partnering with Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time. And they're playing, you know, with Peyton Manning. So, I mean, it's a big deal. They know millions of people are watching. They want to hit the ball good. And Phil talked about how he was nervous and tight at the start. And then even at the end of the match, when they were on 18 and they're holding their check there and taking their pictures with their $20 million check for charity. And Phil said, I was tight at the start, you know, but that I think that shows a human side that, you know, people can relate to. One of the things that I hear a lot from people is they'll say, you know, Hank, I'm nervous on the first tee. And I always point out to people, I say, you know what? You're not the only guy that's nervous. As a matter of fact, if you weren't nervous, you'd be the only guy. And is that really a realistic, you know, expectation that you're going to be the only person on the face of the earth that's not nervous? I mean, everybody's nervous. Phil Mickelson was nervous on the first tee, and he didn't drive it very good with a you know, he had iron off the first tee, didn't he? I mean, and he couldn't come close to keeping that in play. I was looking at the bets. You remember the prop bets we were talking about last week, the prop bets with Peyton Manning or Tom Brady hitting the first fairway. And Peyton Manning was favored to hit the first fairway. I'm like, he's not going to hit the first fairway. The PGA Tour player hits fairways 65% of the time. You think Peyton Manning, a football player, is going to get on the first tee playing with Tiger Woods and Phil Mickelson, not to mention Tom Brady, and you think he's going to hit a fairway with millions of people watching on TV? There is no chance. He's lucky he hit the golf ball, and it, you know, of course, he sent it over there in the Thule's, and Tom Brady sent it over there in the Thule's too. I mean, Brady was in a full blown panic. The day before, I heard he was out there practicing until like 9 o'clock at night. And then the day of the big match, Sunday of the big match, he, you know, they were going to tee off at like 1 o'clock. He shows up at like 9 or 10, and they said he played 18 holes before the match. I mean, you do that, you're in a full blown panic about what your golf game is going to look like on TV. You just, you know, it's hard. Hey, it's hard to hit that first shot. And you know, once you kind of loosen up a little bit, and you know, Phil, what I noticed from Phil was he was tight at the beginning, and his short game bails him out, obviously. So he hit some good short game shots, which no matter how tight he is, he can hit short game shots. And when he hit the good short game shots, then it allowed him to get into his, you know, a little more into his comfort zone a little bit, which is a big key to everybody's game, because, you know, sometimes you do start off tight and you do start off nervous, but if one part of your game, and the short game is a good part to do this with, if one part of your game can kind of pull you along, then you got a chance to bide some time and maybe get your swing going a little bit. Phil talked about how his swing was off, and he was getting ahead of the ball a little bit, and he was going to try to, you know, he's going to try to correct it. And, you know, as soon as he said that, I think Amanda Bailey almost asked him, well, how would you do that? And he said, well, I'm going to do this or that. And Phil actually ended up hitting the ball great. I mean, he drove the ball great, bombed it on that drivable par four, which was an incredible shot, but he drove it, you know, with alternate shot, match on the line. And I know they're just playing for, you know, pride, but it meant something to him. Yeah, you could tell. I mean, you could tell it meant something to him. And Phil's hitting these drives on the last nine holes. And I'm telling you, I mean, he was driving the ball great. I mean, he drove the ball great. So he settled down for sure. I looked at Peyton Manning and I thought, you know what? I've played with Peyton before. I played with him with Tiger one time or two times. I can't remember. But you know, he's a decent player, has a club, you know, coming down a little bit, maybe too much from the inside. So that's why he hooks it too much. But, you know, I always say, you know, a slice is no good. A hook is much better. You know, if you can go from slicing to hooking to good golf, you can go from hooking to good golf. But no one in the history of the game of golf has ever gone from slicing to good golf. So the fact that Peyton Manning, you know, has the ball going from right to left and yeah, hooked too much on the first hole. But to me, that was a guarantee that you're going to see some good shots out of him. And you did see some good shots out of him. He, you know, when you get the ball curving from your right-handed player and you get the ball curving from right to left, it's a sign that you're in the right direction and you're going to hit some good shots. When you're Tom Brady and you're hitting everything to the right, you know, then, you know, I tell you what, it's a sign of usually that it's going to be a very, very long day. I mean, that's what it's going to usually be a sign of. And I mean, Brady hit a couple good shots and a good iron shot in that par three and hold out on the, you know, the par five, the big shot of the day. But he hit a couple really good shots. I mean, you know, I mean, he made two birdies. And so that's not all bad, but I mean, he wouldn't have broke 100. I mean, and of course, these guys were billed as 8 handicaps coming in. And I said, you know, listen, an 8 handicap under pressure on TV, realistically, yeah, 8 handicaps supposed to shoot about 80. Realistically, playing in that setting, an 8 handicap is probably going to shoot about 88 to 90. And on a bad day, he could go for 100. I mean, and that's a hard golf course. Medalist, a real hard golf course, not easy. Hard course, playing with Tiger, playing with Phil, you got to add strokes for all that. Raining, add some strokes for that. Phew, hundreds easily in sight for an 8 handicap. And I get a kick out of people on Twitter saying, I could beat this guy. Or, you know, well, it's tough. It's tough. They're in a tough situation. Tiger played great. I mean, I thought he analyzed his game, analyzed his swing. I thought he played really, really good. I mean, I don't think he hardly missed two shots all day. Maybe an iron he hit a short right, maybe shot into a par five, maybe overcut it in the bunker. I don't know. I mean, he did not miss many shots. I mean, he didn't hit one foul ball with the driver, not one. Now I know the course is wide and everybody says it's wide, but I don't care. I mean, you know, Phil, it wasn't wide enough for Phil. Certainly not starting off. Phil was okay on the back nine, but it wasn't wide enough for him in the front nine. But Tiger didn't miss a shot. I mean, he looked phenomenal. Swing looked good. Positions of his swing looked good. The tempo, rhythm, timing, the whole thing in his swing that people like to talk about, that looked good. I thought he looked like in, you know, great shape. So clearly people were wanting to see what Tiger looked like. And I think without a doubt, the time off has helped him. He, you know, talked about his body and how it's better. And, you know, he's had plenty of time to work out. It's the same stuff he always says. But, you know, he looked better than he did when he left. Let's put it that way. And I thought he looked a lot better. I mean, you play like that and, you know, it's just a question of how you putt and get a couple breaks and you can be there with a chance to win major championships. I mean, I would be, based on what we saw, you know, and granted, it's just an 18-hole match. It's a, you know, alternate shot, best ball in the front nine, alternate shot in the back. But based on what we saw, I mean, I don't know how you could look at Tiger and think, oh, you know, you certainly couldn't look at him and say he's got no chance to win a major this year. I mean, I'd look at him and I'd say, you know, he's got a good shot of winning it. I mean, he putted good, you know, made the putts when his team needed him to make them. I know it's not a tournament, but still, he's trying. He made the putts when he needed to. And the last hole, see, the last hole epitomizes Tiger Woods' game. Peyton Manning hits the ball. It's alternate shots, tough format. So Peyton Manning hits the ball on the green, but he barely gets it on the green. Okay. Well, Peyton Manning is a little shaky with the putter, short putts. Long putts, good. He lags it up there, good. Short putts, shaky. Had that one short miss. Remember that? I forget what hole it was, but he had a short miss. And I rewound that a couple times. I mean, that was a yip. Okay. You want to know what a yip looks like? That was a yip. So right away, that tells you, you know, that's a potential issue coming in. Now, Trevor Immelman mentioned it. He said, of the two football players, Peyton Manning's been the shakiest with the putter. Well, he was referring to the one putt. Of course, nobody will ever say the word yip. You know, that's the dirty word. Nobody will ever say it. So, he looks a little shaky with the putter. Well, that's more than a little shaky. That's a big problem. All right. So this match, I know they're just playing for pride, but they both want to win. Tiger's on the front of the green because that's where Peyton Manning left him. Well, realistically, from, I don't know what that was, 70, 80 feet, it's a long way. Fast green, up a little hill, you're into the green, then you're down green. It's not an easy putt. I don't care. You know, people were talking all day about how many times Tiger's played the course and it's Tiger's home course and this and that. I'm thinking to myself, I don't care whose home course it is. I mean, I don't care how many times you played the course. You still got to hit the ball. I mean, just because you've played the course, and Tiger even said that, which was very modest of him to say that, you know, well, I know where to go on this course. Well, I mean, you can know where to go and not hit it there. I mean, I know where to go on a lot of courses, and I can't hit it there. I mean, that he played great. I mean, not good. He played great. He really, really did. You know, but back to the putt on 18. So Peyton Manning leaves him on the front of the green. Now, if Tiger lags it up there 3 feet, 4 feet from that distance, 3 or 4 feet was a good distance. That would be a very good putt from that distance, from 70, 80 feet. You lag it up there 3 or 4 feet, that's a good putt. If he lags it up there 3 or 4 feet, if he lags up there 3 or 4 feet, Peyton Manning's odds on to miss that putt. Because he's thinking about the other short one he missed and he's shaky with the stroke. He's odds on to miss that putt. He just is. And then we're in some kind of a, you know, chip off thing or whatever, which, you know, would have been interesting, but it's not what everybody wanted because it was getting dark. Tiger rolls that putt up there, gimme. That is one of the one of the most underrated parts of his game, and it's one of the reasons that he's been so great throughout his whole career at playing with the lead, is that when he gets on the lead, he doesn't have to hit iron shots inside of 15 feet or 20 feet. He can hit a conservative iron to 30, 40, 50 feet, conservative play the middle of green. He's on a lead, and he can lag it up there close. And it's one thing to two-putt. It's another thing to two-putt with no stress. And not only was there no stress for Peyton Manning, there wasn't even a putt. He didn't even have to putt it. So that was that just was, you know, vintage Tiger, really. And I promise you, I guarantee you with 100% that Peyton Manning's standing over the side of the green thinking, oh boy, this is such a long putt for Tiger. I'm gonna have to make the next one, you know, because even a good one would have been 3 or 4 feet, and Peyton Manning wanted nothing to do with the 3 or 4 footer at that point. Not national TV, one up in the match, the whole thing. He didn't want anything to do. Tiger knocks it up there 6 inches from the cup. Great. I thought Tiger played great. I thought his swing looked good. You know, I thought Phil was impressive on the back nine. You know, Brady, hit a couple good shots. Thank God. Peyton Manning, better because he at least gets the ball hooking. But what I want to do is I want to talk a little bit about kind of an instruction part of it, like what I would have told these players and some of the instruction that you heard during the match. And we'll do that when we come back. First, we'll hear from our sponsors. And I want to take this moment to tell you about a couple things. One, you know, my Haney University site. You can go to haneyuniversity.com and you can sign up right there. Enter your email address and you'll be on the list to receive all my free tips. Now, you can also purchase my new book there, How to Play Better Golf Today, Lessons of a Lifetime. I'm getting a lot of great feedback on that. Go to haneyuniversity.com for that. And we've got a special offer on pull carts. I talked about this the other day, but a lot of people are into these pull carts. You can't get them anywhere. can't, you go on online, you go on Amazon, you go to stores, you can't find a pull card because everybody's social distancing. They're walking more and everybody wants a pull card. I got a hold of the absolute best pull card called the Quick Fold. I got a little demo on there of me using it. You'll see it on Haney University Tech. And it's a special price too, because you go on Amazon, it's like $389 plus shipping. And you go on my site, we've got it for $349, shipping included. So it's a great price. It's an absolutely fantastic product. If you're one of these guys out there, because I know there's like people everywhere looking for push cards. I can't find a push card, you know. Well, you can find one right there at HaneyUniversity.com. So go there and check it out. All right, we'll hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back on the Hank Haney Podcast. All right, I'll give you some instruction thoughts. Let me see where to start here. Okay, let's start with Tiger. I thought his swing looked great. I mean, I didn't see anything in his game, short game wise, full swing, anything to be a putting. I didn't see anything to be alarmed at, to be nervous about. I mean, I thought he was in great form. I think Tiger's swing, for the most part, has really looked good in the last year, and I thought it looked really, really good at the match. I really did. I think he's gonna have a good year, whatever that means, because I don't know how many tournaments he's gonna play or how many tournaments the tour is gonna play. But let's make the assumption they're gonna play three majors. I think he's gonna have a good year. Based on what I saw, this, I know it's just 18 hole match, whatever. But based on that, I mean, he's going to win somewhere, and the odds are, you know, I mean, he's it's hard to win him, but he's going to be there with a chance at some major, and you put him at a chance in a major where experience means the most. You know, his odds are better than others. Well, I thought he looked great. Phil Mickelson, okay, his swing, it's hard for me to comment on Phil. I mean, he's got a long swing. I don't necessarily think that's bad. I don't really know what he tries to do. He, you know, it takes a lash of that driver. He loves saying he's hitting bombs, high bombs. Anyway, I thought he drove the ball great on the back nine. You know, to me, my teaching is always geared towards fixing a bad shot. So it's like, what bad shot do we want to get rid of? And what Phil tends to do is he tends to miss both ways. So my first order of business would be to take one of those misses away. And it would probably be dictated by whatever one he dislikes the most. But I would always try to, like, if you're a two-way misser, somebody misses both ways. You miss right, you miss left. I would say, okay, we've got to fix one of those bad shots so we can narrow it down and only have half the golf course to play. And that would be, you know, be my, instruction to Phil. And I don't know exactly where that would start without some kind of an interview process. And that's a big part of any lesson. I mean, you have to talk to the student and figure out what it is they're feeling and what they're trying to do and what shots give them trepidation and the whole thing. I thought it was really cool when Phil Mickelson described the short game shot that he was going to play. And he pitched it up there like a foot from hole. That was a hard shot. I mean, you don't have much green to work with. The green's running into the wrong way. He's talking about the green with where the ball's lying. So, you know, I don't want to come in this way because I could chunk it because of the grain running into the grain. I don't want to hit it on the green without any spin because it's gonna skid and it's gonna go too far. It's downhill after that. I'm gonna try and land it right here and then bounce it up there with. And he executed it perfect, but it was real. That was really interesting, and I thought that was, you know, good. Clearly, they maybe told him to do it. I don't know, but I thought Justin Thomas did a great job leading Phil into that. Tell us how, describe what you're going to do. That's something you don't ever get to see on TV. That's why I think some of the comments that people made, like on Twitter, and they talked about, hey, this was phenomenal to watch. You don't get to hear that. You don't get to see a player describe exactly what he's going to do. Tiger did it on another hole. I mean, he did about half of what Phil did, but I thought Phil did just great with that. One of the things that really stood out to me, because I'm always talking about with putting, is how you've got to have speed and direction, but speed's the most important thing. And if you think back to the match and Phil is trying to help his partner Tom Brady, and he just would always tell him, get the right focus on the pace, focus on the right speed. I remember one of the putts that they needed to make just one more putt, but he missed it on the high side. And Phil's comment was, "You just hit it just a little bit too hard." But that's why Phil was always telling him, hit it the right speed. It's the same thing I always do. I tell people, just concentrate on getting your speed right, because you're never going to get the line right if you don't get the speed right. And when Phil is telling Tom Brady, he's reading the putt for him, he's telling him where to play the putt, it's all, conditioned on, do you hit it the right speed? Like when he tells him to play it, one cup out to the right, he's telling him that at a certain speed. It's not any speed is going to work. It has to be the right speed for it to take the break. If you hit it too soft, it's going to break too much. If you hit it too hard, it's not going to break enough. So whenever you're over a putt, you have to be thinking, hit the putt the right speed. Hit the putt the right speed. And Phil Mickelson kept harping that over and over and over again. So, and these guys are good. I mean, I know they didn't play great. Manning played better than Brady. But overall, considering the way that golf is played by the masses of people, those guys are good golfers. I mean, they are. They're in a tough situation, hard course, playing with two icons in the game. One of them, the greatest of all time. It's a tough situation to be in. Millions of people watch on TV. They're football players. They're great. You're used to the two-minute drill. They're not used to this. But, they're taking in the information that the guys are giving them. Phil gave a lot of good information. He really did. One of the things that I found was interesting, when Brady kept hitting the ball to the right, okay? And, of course, at some point they're going to ask somebody, why is he hitting him to the right? And Trevor Immelman he's going to try to give you some instruction. And it gives you an idea what he thinks is, because here's what usually happens. People will tell you whatever they're working on. I always used to say, I think it's one of the rules that there should be an instruction, is you should have to write down everything that you're working on in your own game if you're a teacher, and not be allowed to teach it during a lesson. But people always have a keen eye for whatever it is they're working. So Trevor Immelman is watching Tom Brady hit to the right. Now, when Tom Brady's hitting to the right, that's where all the misses were going except for one. Every other miss went to the right. You got to fix the right shot. You got to fix the bad shot. He's hitting to the right. And when you're hit to the right, the club face is open relative to the path of the swing. So what that means is the path of the swing is too much left of the club face. So if the club face is 2 degrees to the right, meaning the club face pointed 2 degrees to the right of the target, and the path is from in to out 3 degrees, that would mean that the club face is 1 degree closed relative to the target, and every ball would have hooked. But they weren't. They were blocking to the right or slicing to the right. So you know the club face is too open relative to the path of swing. So there has to be two things that have to happen. One of two things, probably both. And in this case, it was both. One, Tom Brady needed to swing the club more to the right. The path of his swing needed to go more to the right. Number two, Tom Brady needed to close the club face more at impact. Okay, so what does Trevor Immelman tell you? And frankly, it is just he doesn't know what he's doing in instruction. I mean, he's a Masters champion, great player, whatever. But as far as teaching golf goes, no, sorry, clueless, doesn't have any idea. Because here's the advice he gave him. Remember, club face is open relative to the path of swing. Path is to the left, club face is pointed to the right. We know that. That's why the ball's doing what it's doing. It's pushing, it's slicing, okay? It's not hooking back. Peyton Manning's ball's starting to the right and hooking. What does that tell you? The path is closed relative to the path of swing. The path of swing is to the right. The club face is closed relative to the path. When Peyton Manning was swinging, he was swinging 3 or 4 degrees to the right, and the club face was pointed maybe 1 or 2 degrees to the right, and that's why every ball he hit all day long was hooking. And that's the way he plays. Tom Brady was the opposite. Okay, why was Tom Brady's club face open? Well, one, his club face is open at the top of the swing a little bit. His grip is pretty weak. For a player that misses to the right, his grip is pretty. It's actually technically a pretty darn good grip, but he's not a touring pro. He could have stood to have a stronger grip. Both hands needed to be turned more to the right on the club. That would have been if I would have said, under the pressure of a situation where you've got to just tell a guy one thing, what would I have told him? I would have said, strengthen your grip. And if he would have strengthened his grip, he would have gotten something to curve from right to left, which he did about 2 shots. One on me hold, one on me hit 3 feet from the pin, and then maybe, you know, 2 or 3 drives with a 3-wood, by the way. He never teed off with a driver. But if he would have strengthened the grip, turned both hands to the right on the grip, and eased up on his grip pressure, he would have squared the club face better. That would be one thing. The next thing is that at the top of his swing, his club always has a tendency to point a little bit to the left. Peyton Manning's club at the top of his swing points a little bit to the right. And because it points to the right, he stands the club up a little more at the top. It points to the right. That's going to cause you to swing from end to out too much. That's why he hooks the ball too much. He needs to point the club more to the left, get his arm up higher, his left arm up higher. I'm talking about Peyton Manning. Get his arm up higher, point the club more left. Tom Brady needs to get the club pointed more to the right at the top of the swing with a little more closed club face. Closed club face would happen if he strengthened his grip. When the club's to the right at the top of his swing, then his path can get a little bit more from inside to out. Okay, what does Trevor Immelman tell him? He tells him that he didn't tell him this, but he said this on TV. He said his ball position needs to be more forward. Okay? Now, just logically think this out. If you put the ball position more forward, what's that going to do to the path of the swing? You're swinging on an arc from inside to straight to inside. If you put the ball more forward in your stance, you're going to swing the club more to the left. He's already swinging the club too much to the left. That's going to make it worse. You need to put the ball back in your stance more so you can swing the club more to the right. But even with the ball back in the stance, he couldn't swing it to the right because the club is pointed too much to the left at the top of his swing. Okay, so and it's not squaring up because it's too open to begin with at the top of the swing, and he's not releasing it at the bottom. But he tells him to, you know, he needs to put the ball farther forward. Wrong, exact opposite. He tells him he needs to stay in his posture more. He's coming out of his shots. Okay, well, first off, when you hit a ball to the right, it's not coming out of your shot doesn't cause a ball to right. What causes a ball to go to the right is a club face that's open relative to the path of the swing. Now, if you're coming out of shots, that means you're raising up. Are you going to hit it thin or fat if you're raising up? You're going to hit it thin. You're raising up. What did Tom Brady do? He hit shots fat out there. Well, your problem can't be coming out of your posture if you're hitting shots fat. And your problem isn't coming out of your posture if you're not squaring your club face at impact by releasing your hands properly. Justin Thomas, they asked him what he would do, and he said he needs to soften up his right arm so he can release the club through impact. Okay, I don't know about that. I mean, it's kind of a new one on me to soften up the right arm. But at least he's talking about releasing the club through impact, and he's talking about squaring the face. But I don't know if that would do it. Maybe it would. Not the way I do it, but it's a thought. It's a thought. Ball forward, stay in your posture. That has nothing to do with hitting a shot to the right like that. Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. Because I think to myself, people that are at home watching on TV are listening to this stuff, and then they're probably going to go out there and try it. Well, don't try that one. Don't try. If you want to listen to somebody, listen to Justin Thomas. By the way, Justin Thomas's father, Mike's a PGA professional, and his grandfather was a PGA professional, and they all give, you know, those two gave a lot of golf lessons. And I would trust, you know, that information a little bit more. So anyway, that's what I, that was my thought process when I heard the instruction that was being given and what I would have told them. If, you know what I feel, you watch people as an instructor, you watch people play. And I think, you know, in 5 minutes, 2 minutes, maybe, you know, I'd have had Tom Brady drawing that ball from right to left. Point the club a little more right at the top, swing the club a little more right in your downswing, strengthen your grip just a tiny bit, and we'll get that ball curving from right to left. If that didn't do it, I would have showed him how to square the back of his left hand. Turn the back of your left hand at impact, get the back of your left hand facing the target at impact, and that ball would have been drawn every time. He's not that far off. I know, you know, and matter of fact, if you look at the swings out there, you know, I mean, a lot of it has to do with hand-eye coordination, you know, it's a bit, and repeatability. But Tom Brady's swing is better than Peyton Manning's swing. But the results were not there because he was missing those couple things. He's close, but close didn't get it done. So anyway, get my book, How to Play Better Golf Today, and you'll pick up some more of the lessons that I, like the one I just gave you, Lessons of a Lifetime, my new book, How to Play Better Golf Today. Sign up at HaneyUniversity.com to receive my free emails. Send your golf swings in to golfschools@HankHaney.com. You get a free analysis from Steve Johnson, the great predictor, or one of my other instructors will do that for you. And if you have questions, email them to HankHaneyGolf@Outlook.com. You can find me on Twitter @HankHaney. And make sure you hit the follow button on the iHeartRadio app so our podcast shows up for you every single day and we'll help you play better golf and learn more about golf. Hope everybody has a great day. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll be back tomorrow on the Hank Haney Podcast. The Hank Haney Podcast is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.